How do we continue to innovate and in order to continue to deal with issues of food and food insecurity? We all know that the projected increases in the world population is going to mean that we've got to double our game, if not triple it, based on some of the projections we're seeing and based on some of the dire consequences of not doing so. So I see that you're going to see more and more technology being a part of feeding the world, more part of, and we're not just going to be focused on just producing more, but how do you make it more traditious? How do you make it, how do you make it more nutritious, I should say? And how do you make it, how do you deal with some of the global impact of food production on the environment? You know, so out of ag, you're going to see more focus on ag tech. And that's one of the biggest focuses in our research park now. We probably have one of the fastest growing ecosystem around ag technology of any land grant university, I think, in the country. And more that effort is being focused on what we call regenerative agriculture. How can you make sure that you're reducing the carbon footprint and impact of food production by using more regenerative practices? And really, how do you help create more jobs and more small businesses in this sector that is going to continue to drive the economic vitality of the state? So ag is fine, well, doing well, and will continue to be a core part of the land grant mission of this university and the research mission writ large.
Another challenge in our country race. And in the News Gazette in 2020, you wrote an editorial. You talked about Jogging While Black and Dogs Let Loose, and by unwelcoming neighbors, people shouting the N-word at you as they drove by, never meeting your grandfather because he was shot dead in his front yard by a racist landowner. 2022, you have efforts in schools and by some states to stop talking about racism because it makes white people feel bad. How do we respond to that in this time?
Well, I'm a fundamental believer in the following. Nothing really gets done without a conversation. You can't move forward as a society unless you are willing to understand the other. How can you understand the other without a dialogue and without a conversation? So I'm very, very adamant about this cancel culture that we seem to be in, where if I don't like what you say, then I'll just cancel you. I don't want to hear what you have to say. That is not a strategy to move us forward. And so you have to have a way to have an open dialogue, and you have to be honest. There is no denying that slavery happened in this country, so why would you think it's appropriate to deny historical context? No more than it's would be appropriate to deny the role of immigration from across the world that helped drove the industrial age. And so to deny your history, as I won't get this axiom right, but I mean, you're basically bound to repeat things if you are in complete denial of a historical context. I don't support that. I don't support the notion that somehow or another, particularly in a higher education or in an education environment, you're supposed to educate people by not intentionally and strategically trying to block out or deny parts of one's history. It's just not appropriate, and it just won't serve society or our nation well in the long run.
The blackness, keep on.
Chancellor Jones was once a vocalist in the Grammy Award-winning group, The Sounds of Blackness. They had a hit record in 1991 called Optimistic. So I ended our interview by asking Chancellor Jones what makes him optimistic in 2022.
Well, what gives me optimism is notwithstanding the trials and tribulations that one encounters in life, is that if you look around, there's reason to be doubtful about the future. But if you just really look at the problem and know that into each life, as they say, some rain must fall, but tomorrow a brighter day will surely come. And that is what keeps me very much optimistic that, you know, COVID-19 has been one of the biggest challenges I've ever faced in my life. And yeah, I think many of us wanted to be over in a couple of months or at least a year. And now we're entering the third year of this thing here pretty soon. March 12th was the day I sent everybody home to study remotely. But I remain optimistic because I know that, as my granny used to say, this is something we're going through, not going to. That will be a brighter day at the end of this. And hopefully the lessons learned from these trials and tribulations will make us a better society. One that is more willing to understand that we're in this together and the benefits of hanging together as a community, that we can tackle most anything.
Chancellor Robert Jones, University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, thank you for spending some time with us today.
My great pleasure. Thank you.